ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। In traditional societies all over the world, youth were very strictly controlled. Nowadays, it's quite the opposite, and youth have much freedom to do as they like, so they think, because they're stupid. Youth means more stupid than most people. Everyone's stupid, and that's the condition of the material world. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's an observable fact, that people who do not inquire into the nature of reality, what's the meaning of life, what are we doing here, they are stupid. And that is seen in their activity. Instead of performing activities that are conducive to your own welfare, which is presumably what an intelligent person should do, right? People act against their own welfare. And you can see that people smoke, drink. When we say drink, that means alcohol. Drinking in itself is not such a bad thing. Drinking Coca-Cola, is it? What's the benefit? Can anyone tell me what is the benefit of drinking Coca-Cola? I can tell you the benefit. What is the benefit? The benefit is that Mr. Coca-Cola, whoever owns the company, gets something more to add to his billions of dollars that he gets by selling something completely useless to the completely useless people who are stupid enough to buy it and drink it. So, if we are not focused on, if we don't know what our real self-interest is, we're just exploited by others. And this is why freedom is promoted so much in the modern age. Because then you're free to be exploited. Because people are stupid. They get exploited by materially more intelligent people who are also stupid because they're not fixated on the goal of life. This is called apaswartha parayana, being strongly attached to something which is against your own self-interest. Can you imagine? Is there anything more stupid than being very strongly attached to doing what is actually against your own self-interest? And even if we think we're the body, then smoking, well, what's the good in that? But the advertisements are there that if you smoke, you're big and strong. You're not big and strong, you're just stupid, that's all. And in youth, stupidity is more. Therefore, in traditional societies, in youth, stupidity is more means the material hankerings become very strong at that time. So in traditional society, youth are strictly controlled, but that is removed nowadays, and so the youth, they don't want to listen to old people with sticks. But they're very proud and thinking that, well, you know, we know what we're doing, these old people, what do they know? And meanwhile, they're being totally manipulated by the advertisements. You see, the fashion culture. By fashion, you should have your hair going round and round in circles and green on the bottom and pink in the middle and blue on the top. Then everyone will do like that. And if then fashion becomes you shave it off with one spike going out here, another spike, then everyone will do it. Because people are stupid. They just do whatever fashion dictates to them. That's all. All youth are stupid. All people are stupid, except those who are in Krishna consciousness. Okay, you can, if you're thinking of beating me up, you can now withdraw that. But I know you weren't doing that because you're in devotional life, so you wouldn't think of doing such a thing. Even nowadays, it's not so common in cultures that are still have still some traditional influence that children beat their parents or kill them. Killing parents is still not very common in any culture. Beating them, somewhat. Not in Indian culture. In Indian culture, you have on one hand, you're told to respect your elders and you have to follow something. And on the other hand, you have the whole society and the whole culture which is saying just be wild, be free, do whatever you like, don't follow anyone. So you're caught in between these two things. And on one hand, unless you show yourself to be a great enjoyer of the material world with a great hairstyle and really cool, whatever that means. I never really worked out what the word cool meant. I mean, apart from the temperature thing, but, you know. But there's this thing, you have to be cool. What does it mean exactly? Can anyone say? Huh? No, that's not the main question. To be more stupid. But people think it's, well, you have to look like you're really on top of things and self-confident and, you know, fashionable and, yeah, like that, stupid. It means that you have to put on a profile which is dictated to you by other people. So
today that's called plain sexy.
It's called sexy. Yeah, that's it. You see, I can't keep up with the fashions. They're changing all the time. It's changing all the time. It's changing all the time. The fashions are changing. They have all these, you know, in English it's always changing. They have this term chilled out. You know, I go to the West once a year and I don't know what people are talking about half the time because they're always using all these new terms. Vedic culture is different in as much as there's a fixed goal, which is first of all to understand that we're not the body, we're not the senses, we're not the mind. Everything here is temporary. Your youth is temporary. It's not going to last. Nothing will last. The only real thing is Krishna, Krishna consciousness. That's reality. I just got an email this morning in which there was a quote there that in youth you have the physical ability but you don't have the wisdom. Which what's called wisdom, if anybody most people don't become wise at all because they spend their life pursuing sense gratification, watching TV, and how can you get any wisdom? But they say in old age there's wisdom, but that wisdom means you've been bashed and smashed by material energy, so you're a little cautious about how you deal with it. But by the time you get that, you don't have the physical strength to do what you have to do, to really commit yourself to the discipline that is required if one is going to become self-realized. So it's a dichotomy of the material energy. In youth, you have the vigor, but you don't have the wisdom to act in the proper way. And in old age, if at all people have any wisdom, and they're not just simply old fools, they're not just simply sitting in front of the TV and just oblivious to the fact that they have to die very soon, and they'll just go on drinking and smoking and wishing they could have sex, but they're too old. Unless they get monkey glands put on, like Frank Sinatra did. But I don't know if he had the physical strength even then. But if they have any wisdom, then it is in old age, just to walk up the stairs is a great achievement. In youth, you don't think about it. You just run up the stairs, I actually, no one does that in Dubai, do they? Because everyone goes in elevators. They don't even know what stairs are. There's a thing, if you accidentally open the wrong door in the apartment building, you'll see these funny things called stairs. They won't walk up the stairs, but they'll go to the gym and spend money and time there. So it's another stupidity. They have all these facilities to save you doing any physical work, and then you're unfit, so you spend money to go to the gym. So, everyone in this material world is stupid and exploited. It's the home, this modern civilization, it's so wonderful, so advanced, but people have freedom, but it's a society of exploitation, just like Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, how is it a multi-billion dollar business? It works on what? On the wonderful taste of Coca-Cola? No. On the nutritional properties of Coca-Cola? No, because there are no nutritional properties. It works on the understanding that people are stupid, and that if you advertise something, even though it's no value of them whatsoever, to them whatsoever, they'll buy it. That's all. They show Coca-Cola sports stars, that's another nonsense, drinking Coca-Cola. Oh, then I should buy Coca-Cola. And it works. And everything, they sell everything. Car tires, cars, all kinds of things. People don't need cell phones and all kinds of things like that. Everything, just piling up desires. It means that the modern society keeps people like children all their life. That they have no independent power of saying, they're just, do this, do that, do this, do that. School, you go to school. There are all these lies in modern society. It's not that anyone's saying, deliberately telling a lie to you, but there are all these myths, that's a better word, a myth. You go to school, study, get a good job, then you can be happy. Nonsense. Have you ever seen anyone who's going to school, getting a so-called good job? Are they dancing in the streets with happiness? No. It's just a grind. Their whole life is just grind, grind, grind. And then there's this myth promoted. Sex. Ah, beautiful women. Ah. It's nonsense. You think, oh, I have sex, it'll be so wonderful. Everyone's having sex. Are they happy? Just for the fact that they're discharging some liquid between their legs, and from the female side they're receiving it between their legs, and are people happy? Do they? Are people like, oh, it's so wonderful? So there are these myths in human society. You can be happy by having a good job, and the very term "good job" is a myth. What good job means? You work for someone else, they give you some money, pat you on the head if you do your work well, and throw you out of the company if you don't. And you can have some apartment somewhere, and you just spend your life. So there are so many myths that human society is improving, everything is better. Yeah, sure. Wonderful. How wonderful life is. Nowadays you have scientifically polluted air to breathe. See, it's all because of modern science. So you can see, in the past people they just breathed ordinary air, but nowadays you see it's enhanced, some special, less like the bottles of water, special minerals added, so you have special chemicals added in the air which poison you. And the water, you see, now you can buy. Before, people would just take water, but nowadays you can get specially treated water in bottles with added minerals. So advanced. Of course, you have to pay for it. And in the past, people, it was just unthinkable that people would pay for water to drink. But that's called advancement, folks. And by the way, you have to work to get that money to pay for the water and to eat the food which is full of chemicals and the salt which is causing you diabetes and all kinds of kidney problems and so on, which you don't know about because they don't tell you at school. They're not going to tell you that. They're not going to tell you all these things. So it's a whole society of cheaters and the cheated. And if you go on the internet, you'll find how this politician said this, but actually he's cheating in this way. And they're promoting this kind of food, but McDonald's food, but actually it's very bad for you. And you can find top to bottom, it's all exploiting and all cheating. But by the way, it's not just nowadays, it's been going on since time immemorial. Nowadays, the cheating and lies and myths are in every sphere of life, but otherwise this exploitation and cheating is, it's just there in human society. Like, for instance, nationalism, die for your country. But you don't see the leaders of the states going and dying for their countries. You know, they're saying, go out there, men. We'll give you a medal if you survive. And they play the patriotic music. Da 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 da. And you go out there and you go, ha! Oh, and then you give your life for your country and go and invade Iraq so that people back home can have make sure their oil supply is there. Oh, wait, that wasn't the reason. What was the reason they invaded Iraq? What was it? Saddam Hussein. He was a bastard, but they all are, some more than others. I mean, the reason, humanitarian reasons, we have to get rid of Saddam. But what about in China? They don't invade China, who invaded Tibet. When Kuwait was invaded, then the Americans came to save the Kuwaitis. When Tibet was invaded, they didn't come to save the Tibetis. So I guess there's not much oil in Tibet. At least they didn't discover it yet. So this has been going on since it's not only in modern society are the leaders and everyone else, well, generally the leaders are more intelligent than the non-leaders, but everyone is stupid. And it's not just in modern society, though. From time immemorial, Maya makes everyone into a clown, that's all. And then when you're expert in being exploited by Maya, and then you think, oh, I'm so good, you know, I'm so great, I've got so much money, I've got a sports car, I've got 2.5 beautiful girlfriends, I'm not sure about the half, she's still going with her old boyfriend. Now in the West, everyone's running simultaneous, you know that? Every boy has 3 girlfriends, and every girlfriend has 3 or 4 boyfriends, and they run more than one at a time. So horrible, actually. And abortions, and so on. So it's nothing new that people are stupid, but it's more intense as Kali Yuga goes on. The stupidity level, or the manifestation of stupidity increases. Otherwise, it's just there with everyone. If in all societies, in all cultures, there's exploitation, there's cheating, there are myths propagated that even the idea, if you lead a dutiful life and look after your family, that's a glorious thing. Well, not really. I mean, a lot of animals have families too, right? It's without understanding who we are, where we have come from, where we're going, what is the purpose of life, then parabhavas tava dabodajata. We're all simply defeated, which means for all our name, fame, and glory, we're simply defeated. Just like if you're a very great person, you might have a statue built for you, not in this country, because of Islam. They don't have statues. But in another country, you could have a statue built. Just like all over India, you'll find statues of Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. Ambedkar. You could have the statue built, but you're dead, and then you could be this, the very pigeon. You could be in the very body of the pigeon that's coming and passing stool on the head of the statue of your what of the body you had in your previous life. So there's a statue built, and then every Gandhi Jayanti they come and they talk about Mahatma Gandhi. They have no intention of following anything that he said. And national holiday. That's Mahatma Gandhi's great contribution to modern India. The government, at least the government workers get a day off. So, meanwhile, where's Mahatma Gandhi? What happened to him? Well, according to popular myth, although according to Nataram Godse, you might have heard his name, he's the person who happened to be holding the gun from which the bullet fell out and hit Mahatma Gandhi. I'm not sure. Where did it hit him? I'm not sure. I didn't study so much. Anyway, he's the assassin, and he said, he apparently said, he never said, "Hey Ram," when he died. But anyway, if he did, good luck to him. But for all his struggles to release India from the tyranny of the British, now India is ruled by the tyranny of the Indians. You can have the satisfaction of being exploited by people born in the same country as you, rather than being exploited by people being born in a different country. That is the satisfaction you can have. So even the great people, lauded as great heroes, what is the use of their life? What happens next? Where are you going? What? Now you're all young. Where are you going to be in 100 years from now? 100 years? What's 100 years? Thing that's too long for me to think about. But in time, it's a just like that. Where are you all going to be in 100 years from now? Ever think about that? I hope so. If you're coming to these classes, so intelligence. Real intelligence means to begin to think about these kind of things. Here I am, I don't know why I'm here. I got this body, and you know, someone's got this kind of body and they think this is too thin. I'd like to have a fatter body, and someone has a fatter body and think it's too fat. I want to be thinner. And whatever you got, you're never fully satisfied with it. I didn't ask to be to land up in this situation. How did I get here? What's going to happen in future? I got to be born again into this, got to go through all this again, getting born, and then all I have to watch Coca-Cola adverts all my life, or another lifetime. And just, we don't know what we're doing at all. That's the unspoken idea which is there, that work, earn money, enjoy yourself. Enjoy means what? You have a house, a car. They'll show you a car driving very fast, and you can enjoy that. But actually, you can't drive very fast. Most of the time, there are traffic jams, and if you drive fast, you'll get booked for speeding, right? And have sex. And that's also, of course, that's always promoted as being the great enjoyment, but after all, you know, the donkeys and the chickens and the frogs, and they're all doing it also. So it's not that wonderful. So we should think, what are we doing? What the hell? How did I get in this mess in the first place? How do I get out? That's an even more important question. What happens after death? Well, according to our biology classes, indirectly they say, well, what happens after death? Nothing happens, because you cease to exist, because you are the body. Or if you believe in Islam, then you go to heaven and everyone else goes to hell, because God loves you. Or I'm not. I don't think the Sunnis allow the Shias to go to heaven, and and Shias probably don't allow the Sunnis. Maybe they'll, you know, they'll have a big. I don't know what happens, and I don't know what they're thinking. Jump on a horse and fly off to heaven, or something like that. But what, you know, what is actually going on in this world? Is it just that by virtue of believing in something which someone said, then you get delivered from all this? Let's backtrack. First of all, most people don't even think about the purpose of life. And even if they do, they mostly latch on to some very unintelligent answers. To believe in, and then it could be anyone, if, you know, fill up the dotted line. Believe in this, 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 and then you're saved. And then you say, well, many people are religious, but most people are religious. Why they're religious, it's not that they ever really thought about why we're here or what the purpose of life is, but they're just, someone's born in a Christian family, and I'm a Christian. It must be the best thing because I'm a Christian. So it must be the best religion because I'm a Christian. So it must be the best. Everyone thinks they're the best. Someone is born in a Muslim family, so they think, well, I'm a Muslim and it's the best religion. They never really thought why. They probably don't even know what the principles or the teachings or the philosophy of their religion, of the religion that they say they belong to is, but they just think, well, this must be right because that's what I've been taught since my childhood and everyone else says it, and you better believe in it anyway because it could be dangerous not to, dangerous to your life. So what else? What other notes did I have? Yeah, I guess the one point to be considered is that we're so much conditioned by the culture that we're raised in. So that, you know, people unthinking, most people don't think. They just think, well, everyone else around me acts like this, so I act like that also. But then everyone's manipulated by the culture that they are raised in. And even in the modern West, they say, well, people have the freedom to choose whatever they like to do, but it's not exactly freedom because there is certain cultural training and certain cultural ideas, and there's the education system. You're not free to choose what education you want. You are indoctrinated with the values of the educational system that you're brought up in. So it does require an actually very intelligent person to consider what is the purpose of life and to come out of the particular box of one cultural set of stupidities that he's been placed into. And to not just take for granted, because everyone else is doing it, I should do it. That's how fashion works. It's nonsense fashion that you wear. You wear, everyone has to wear their hair this way or that way, or so, and it changes all the time. So it takes some good intelligence to step out of the way of thinking that has been imposed on you, and think, what am I doing? Who am I? What is the purpose of life? Where are we all going? So this Krishna consciousness is not exactly just like some religion that you believe in and it's all good fun, and then, but it's actually meant for very intelligent people, and there are not that many of them. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, manusha anang sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Only out of millions of persons, only a few people are actually interested in understanding what the supreme perfection is anyway. Most people are just, they're either content to go along with whatever everyone else is doing, or even if they're discontent, they're too lazy or too dull-headed to think that there could be any alternative, or too afraid. Even if people know that they're unhappy, they're too afraid to act in a way different to others, because they're afraid that people will call them stupid. Among stupid people, if you don't act stupid, they call you stupid. And people are afraid of that because they're stupid. They want to get approved by everyone else. So this idea of being approved by others is, well, first of all, you should know who to be approved by. If you want to get approval, if you want to get social approval from people whose lives have no particular direction and who are just directed by others, then you join the sheep who just follow everyone else. I add a few other points here. Oh, yeah, talking about the myths that are propagated, the things you aren't told. You aren't told about the manipulation of the economic system. You probably have some insights on that, working in high-level banking, how this the whole economic system is that a few people have lots of money and everyone else gets a few crumbs. And all kinds of things. On one hand, they have propaganda against drugs, but on the other hand, it's a huge business going on all over the world. And who's doing it? It's not just some guy sitting in a cellar. it's the big rich people in the world. How do they get big and rich? By exploiting others. Money, there's illegal money laundering and legal money laundering. Legal money laundering is called Dubai. No questions asked. And of course, another of the great businesses of the world is selling arms. Lots of money in it. So wars are required. So that wars are great for making money. So there are so many things that we're not told. Just, I don't know in this country, but in India, this, for instance, just one small example, one great improvement of modern life over in the primitive ages when people didn't have scientific advancement is that nowadays we have free-flowing salt. You see, instead of lumps, you can just pour it out and it flows and it doesn't form lumps. So there's just some little chemical added there. Of course, they don't tell you that those chemicals, they're severely adverse for your health. And why are so many dialysis machines being imported to India for treating diabetes patients? Well, a major cause is because their kidneys are all messed up by all these chemicals which are in the salt. So a little bit of salt. You know, what's a little bit of salt? But it's full of chemicals. Did you know that? Mr. Doctor, Apollo Hospital doctor, do they tell you? But why does the government allow that? I mean, you should know, you know as a doctor, that for instance, refined salt is extremely adverse for health. Why is there so much diabetes? That's not the only reason, that's one of the reasons. The government, the people they don't know, they know, but you know, money talks. It's a business. Mass production of salt is a business.
They're approving hospitals opening, many, many big hospitals are getting open, but simultaneously, things which are very detrimental for health, they're approving that.
It's approved, yeah. And the food we eat is full of poisonous chemicals. Why should the governments allow sale of tobacco? It's a business.
Just outside hospitals, they are saying no, but the outside hospitals, people are coming with the lung problems, cigarettes, smokers are there.
This oil is so polluting. There are energy alternatives, but the governments they want to bring in oil because it's a big business. So there's so many lies propagated, and we hear about all these conspiracies, Jewish conspiracy to run the world, and George Bush was supposed to be in cahoots with Osama bin Laden and all this kind of thing. There's some movie made about this, how the swine flu myth was started by the UN. There are so many things like this. Well, it says that on the internet. You don't know if it's true or not. It might be. It's quite possible. There are all kinds of things like that going around. So what did I want to say? Yeah, if people had the full freedom to know all these things, would their attitudes change? Maybe. But it's while some people are exploiting and other people are being exploited, but in the meantime, everyone's missing the real purpose of life. I mean, there is a large body of circumstantial effort that many of the people who are leaders of modern society are deliberately manipulating in various ways to the tremendous detriment of the mass of the world population. I think if anyone who takes a little look at alternative sites on the internet can understand that, right? So people are pointing out the politicians are cheating, the food companies are cheating, the courts are cheating. Now this actor got only 3 years in jail for collaborating with killing hundreds of Indian citizens. And he got 3 years in jail. And they're protesting, why did he get 3 years in jail? We want to watch him jumping around on a Bollywood screen. He's a traitor. Should be shot, but he's a big guy, so he only gets 3 years in jail. So there's this idea that people should choose, they have their own opinion and choose what they want to do, but most people, they don't have the intelligence to do so, actually. Because people want sense gratification. What do they care? Okay, the politicians are cheating us. Okay, anyway, drink some beer and forget it all. Watch the sports, forget it all. Go to the prostitute or dial them up, call a prostitute, and just forget it all. Girlfriend, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same thing, whether you pay for it directly or not. So devotees know what is right. Sounds very arrogant, doesn't it? Everyone says, we know what's right. We know what's right. You don't know. All you people are foolish. Well, that's what Srimad Bhagavatam says. Why should you believe that? Something written some long time ago by people who, they didn't know, they never went to the moon. They didn't know what DNA was, or genes, or RNA, and they didn't have computers. They didn't have advanced medical techniques. So what do all these people know? Well, actually, in Vedic culture, there were advanced medical techniques and all kinds of knowledge. Advanced material knowledge, but the fact remains the same, whether or not we have computers or space rockets. Parabhavastava the abodhajata yavanna jignyasata atmatattva. People are just foolishly wasting their lives, defeated, if they don't inquire into what is the purpose of life. I guess I'm speaking too long for youth, right? We're told that they can't listen for more than 10 minutes. Their mind is too agitated. They have to look in their iPod. You can't. Well, you're all listening. I guess you're more intelligent youth than most. Or maybe you're just wishing, damn it, I wish I wasn't here. But these are important things. These are important things to consider. Okay, we're saying this is right. So you look and see. You can't study all the philosophies in the world and all the ways of life in the world. But you are in contact with this, so study and see. What is the purpose of life? What happens after death? These are the important questions. The Vedic answers are excellent answers. For instance, that we get a certain situation according to what we do in our previous lives. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? What goes around comes around. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So it's true on the subtle sphere also. You might think I can beat up an old woman in an alley and no one will... I don't think that's done in Dubai. In England, it's quite possible. It's more advanced. Raping old women, all kind of unimaginable things. So you might think, well, I can get away with it. But no, sir, you cannot get away with it. There are cosmic, karmic laws. And we can factually experience it. If we take to Krishna consciousness, we do experience satisfaction. And we can understand. I mean, this whole culture of meat eating, it's a horrible culture, inflicting pain on other living beings. There's so much talk about humanity and save the Jews, save the Palestinians. It depends which side of the fence you're on. Or the wall or the barbed wire or whatever. Yeah. But what about... Why do we think that killing people is wrong and killing animals is somehow or other okay? They're just... But they suffer also. There's a karmic due to be paid for those who inflict suffering on animals. And why should we be so stupid that we just follow? People are smoking, we smoke. People are just led around by their senses to have sex here and there, and we also... Why? Why should we be just exploited by others? Why not rise to a higher level of consciousness? So that is... Oh, I have to go. So that is Krishna consciousness, to come to the highest level of consciousness, to understand who we are, why we're in this disgusting place called the material world, what we should be doing in our life, not just following what other people dictate to us. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, we also have to follow what other people dictate. But we choose who we follow for our own best interest. So, Hare Krishna. That means it's time for me to go. All right. All right, so Hare Krishna. I'd suggested that the boys could come to the Alco's program. Is there any idea of that? No, not now.
Yeah. Whoever can join us for the Alco's, I know you have. Guru Maharaj was suggesting that this will be like a field trip for you guys. Earlier, we were thinking this class may not happen, so he suggested. But if whoever can join us today, it should be very nice. We can get a few vehicles to go to Alco's. If not this week, you can catch up with it later also. You can make it today, great. So whoever is possible, please catch up with us. We can go for the next program. Post this if you have time.
What you don't see. Dubai is highly developed, but it's developed on the labor, exploitive labor of people who live in camps like Alcos. In India, they're always talking about developing the nation, building the nation. It's done by the exploiter. All the big buildings are built by exploiting the people who build them pay them next to nothing, and they just work hard. So these are the people you don't see as you enjoy your comfortable middle-class life. But we're sharing Krishna consciousness with them also. They may not be very sophisticated and educated like you, but they love to chant Hare Krishna. And they, at the end of life, it doesn't matter whether you're middle class or whatever. The end of life, you have to remember Krishna, and that opportunity is open to everyone. So, Hare Krishna. Let's distribute this prasad. Questions, questions, questions. Yeah, this material world is a prison house where we all come, where we're all forced to come. It's not that we voluntarily come. Well, in one sense, yeah.
Now, this is also a play by the external energy of Krishna. So why this play going on?
What do you mean it's a play by the external energy of Krishna? Yes. Birth, death, old age and disease, it's not just a play, it's not just a drama, it's a fact. If Krishna desires, he can take all the souls. Yeah, but he gives us some little independence. We don't desire. He desires that we come to him, but he gives us the independence to choose. But we don't desire. So then if we go to the spiritual world and we all want to drink Coca-Cola instead of serving Krishna, we all want to ignore Krishna, then we'll turn the spiritual world into a mess. So there's those who don't want to serve Krishna, they don't want to be in the spiritual world, and therefore they have this place.
So in other sense, this is a purificatory...
It's a purificatory place if we take the purification. If we don't take the purification, then there is no purification. We have to voluntarily take up the purification process. Spiritual world means everyone is voluntarily, lovingly serving Krishna. If we don't want to do that, we won't even be happy there. I don't like it. I let me have birth, death, old age and disease and my independence. That's what we'll think. That's why we're here. Krishna wants to take us, but there are some terms and conditions. The very fact that we are not the supreme enjoyer means that if we're trying to be, then it simply causes disturbance in the spiritual world. So this is the place for people who want to act out their fantasy of being the supreme enjoyer. So don't blame Krishna. It's our fault that we're here. Don't blame Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas from Keshava Bharati.
What we're trying to understand is, there were other Vaishnava gurus at that point in time.
He took sannyas.
Yeah.
From a sannyasi. That you take sannyas from a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken Vaishnava sannyas from Ishwarapuri previously. There were no Vaishnava sannyasis in that area at the time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to enact his pastime of taking sannyas, he did so from Keshava Bharati. Myths, there are millions of them.
The younger generation is like, you know, the superhero movies, they get really
The superhero movies. What Superman? What nonsense. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. It's just complete nonsense. Star Wars. What else is there? What are all the big movies? The Lord of the Rings and Matrix and... just a bunch of all nonsense. Yeah, people are stupid. Intelligence begins when you have the sense to turn the TV off. It's indoctrination.
Awakening of such intelligence or having such intelligence, is this also got by mercy of pure devotees of the Lord?
Pure awakening of intelligence, well, pure devotees give the opportunity to have access to this knowledge. We have to take it also. Mercy is given, but we have to take it also. By listening, by serving, by cultivating. There's a common myth in ISKCON. Don't mind me saying, but it's not that because there's a word ISKCON that no Maya can enter there. That you just have a guru and that's it, and then you get all this mercy. Which is true, gurus are meant for mercy. But how do they give the mercy? By giving instructions which you're meant to follow. Srila Prabhupada literally spoke spiritual knowledge day and night. So the mercy means, to get Prabhupada's mercy, we have to hear that and listen to that and take instruction. It's a myth that you just get some mercy and it's like some shakti path, that you get enlivened with, like an electric shock, and you get all this mercy flowing through. But the mercy means the gurus teach, and you take that instruction and you enact it in your life, and that's how the mercy works. Otherwise, it's the standard Hindu mythology that you have a guru, and you don't. It's just some kind of blessing machine. That's all. Initiating come blessing machine. Don't I think? What I think is of no consequence whatsoever. I'm completely insignificant. My opinion, your opinion, it's all useless. What's the fact? What's the truth? This whole, the very question, what do you think? It reveals, don't mind me saying so, but indoctrination by the stupidity of the modern society, in which they give so much credence to what people think. And they go on the street and they ask, well, what do you think about this, this, this? Well, I think, blah, 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 blah. What is that? Yeah. They give importance to what people think, but we don't. What is the truth? What is the fact? Patriotism to protect the culture of the country. You mean for India? We got to protect Bollywood and not Bollywood, Tollywood, and protect. If the Chinese invade, then the slaughterhouses will be under Chinese control instead of under Indian control. And the breweries will be under Chinese control instead of Indian control. And Bollywood will be under Chinese control instead of Indian control. And illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating will go on under Chinese control instead of Indian control. So maybe you should ask the Chinese to invade. They're more disciplined in that country than in India, right? It may be a good idea. Maybe this Kejriwal should invite them. Because if there's corruption in China, there's two alternatives. They either shoot you or hang you. Or sometimes they put them in prison also. But they're very strict about that. They don't stop it, But they're very strict, so maybe it's a good idea. Maybe you should invite the Chinese. Good idea. And you won't have to spend so much money for the army also. What is the use of being patriotic for a demoniac country? India is a demoniac country. They're proudly now the biggest exporters of beef in the world. Government is promoting that. Don't think it's only Congress. The more slaughterhouses were opened during the BJP rule than at any other time previously. So that's another myth that India, we're protecting the culture. Not at all. The British, when they were more concerned to maintain the, for want of a better word, Hindu culture, than after independence. They were very, all the standards have to be kept because they wanted to they didn't want to stir up a religious brouhaha, disturbance. But then when the first Prime Minister of India was a Brahmin who ate beef and encouraged personally indulged in illicit sex and so many things, and then people blindly followed. What the British couldn't do, the Indians after Indian independence could do. The Mahatma Gandhi, another of his great contributions to modern India is cow slaughter. The whole Indian independence movement was going on that we have to save our culture. And one of the prime parts of the culture that the people who gave their lives for the independence movement, they wanted to stop cow slaughter. So then India got their so-called independence, and they want to stop cow slaughter. Mahatma Gandhi said, no, should be allowed. Muslims want it, Christians want it, so it should be allowed. And they all said, Mahatma Gandhi ki jai ho, and since that time, millions of cows have been slaughtered in India. And you wonder why certain gentleman from Porbandar got shot. So, patriotism to protect the culture. This is another myth that you're bought into.
And so then, how can we, if you say that the present Indian society is very degraded, how do we connect this state?
I don't think that China should invade. Definitely the Indian army should protect. But then, what are you protecting? What is the use? What are useless politicians? China just walks into India, sits there for how long? 2 weeks, 3 weeks? And then they go back, and India has not got a clue what to do. Complete humiliation. Gar se kaho ham bharatiya hai. It's a complete, total humiliation. Just slap you in the face and that's all. This is politics. Now we're talking politics, but it's a fact. And then India, we're not going to bring up this issue, and we'll all be friends and all. It's just complete capitulation, humiliation. And China knows it, and India knows it too. They should have told them. The moment they came in, they said, hey, look, you've got 12 hours to get out. Otherwise, it's war. And they would have gone, but they didn't dare. And how discouraging to the Indian army.
And how are you supposed to, what is the stance you take against Islam and Christianity?
Stance against Islam and Christianity? Why should there be a stance against Islam and Christianity?
The
We should understand what is the truth. That is the point. What is the nature of God? As a policy, it might not be very good to come out openly against Islam in this country, at least. It's a bold thing to do anywhere in the world. But we shouldn't come, we shouldn't say we're against Islam. In principle, the idea of Islam, surrender to God, is very good. But there are certain things which we can say that it's the understanding is it needs improving. Any religious system which is based on violence cannot be very unnecessary violence cannot be considered very advanced. I'm not talking about the what is called terrorism, which is widely associated with Islam, although it's only a small number of people who subscribe to Islam who engage in that. But animal slaughter is required in mainstream Islam. So that cannot be considered godly. We may put it in other terms. Probably the best thing to do is to promote the reality of reincarnation. And that automatically leaves all these religions in the nowhere, because their whole religion is based on the one life theory. So what are you going to do about all of this? I'm not sure exactly what they said, and it's probably too complex to get into here and now. You have to be well educated. But apart from your friends who casually ask you questions, you could take a rigorous training in Vaishnava philosophy and preach to the world. You could do. All of you could do. All of you young men. The real success of our movement will not be how we spread among a relatively small number of Hindus, but how we're able to convince people of different cultural backgrounds of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is. That will be the real success. So if you want to do that, you can be trained. Take it up. Mostly our movement around the world is mostly concerned with people from Hindu backgrounds now. It's all right, but it's not so glorious, is it? The real success will be how we can bring people who have, by their background, no cultural inclination toward Krishna consciousness, and bring them to Krishna consciousness. That will better demonstrate that we're preaching a universal spiritual science rather than a branch of Hinduism. So yeah, in our movement we should have specialists in Islam, how to discuss and reply, and Christianity, and Srila Prabhupada wanted to combat the myths propagated in the name of modern science. So some specialists are required in many fields. Within the Vedic sphere, impersonalism. There are many fields of speciality. Devotees should be trained. How to take this up. So you could be also. Literature and persuasions, the Vedic version, well, maybe you could squeeze it in there. The actual Sanskrit is Shruti, Smriti, Nindanam. So Shruti and Smriti literally means the Vedas and then the Puranas, Manu, the Dharma Shastras and all. Literally, it doesn't include the Bible and the Quran. And there are many problems with the Bible and the Quran. How they came into being, their interpretation, and all these things. And thank you for coming and listening. Please don't be stupid. Study Prabhupada's books. They give you intelligence, actually. Don't think of them as some Hindu religious books, but they're meant for awakening our actual intelligence.